A few announcements for us this morning. First of all, as you know, Pastor Brad and Rhoda are on holidays, and they'll be returning home this week. So continue to pray for them that they might have a restful time and safe travel. Is Alethea Jade Wong in the congregation this morning? As some of you know, if you read the bulletin, Allison and Tommy's baby girl was born to them this past Thursday morning. Alethea Jade Wong, and mother and baby and father are doing well. So we look forward to their return to our presence and meeting Alethea for the first time. It's a very exciting time. They were looking very much forward to this, as all of us were. How many were out this past Thursday evening for the Christmas choir? I see a few hands, yes. So there actually were 18 of us out Thursday evening. We had a wonderful time, and if you like to sing Christmas music, please come along this Thursday evening at 7 o'clock and join us for our Christmas choir. Members, this coming Saturday morning at 10 o'clock, we have our annual budget meeting. Please pick up the agenda and the draft budget in the foyer. Study it and come prepared Saturday morning to discuss and vote on this very important piece of business. The rest of the announcements are in your bulletin. At this time, it gives me great pleasure to welcome our brother Todd Chapman to our pulpit. Pastor Todd is with our Fellowship Pacific Life Cycles team, and his portfolio is church planning and multi-ethnic church ministries. And so we appreciate very much his ministry on our behalf. Todd is a graduate of our seminary. And prior to coming to serve at the fellowship office, he was a pastor who served for 15 years. He's married to Karen, and they have three children. And their home church is Emmanuel Fellowship in Abbotsford. So Todd's no stranger to many of us, and I'd like to welcome him this morning. Come and share what the Lord has laid on your heart for us. Please, Todd.
Thank you very much, Gary. It's always a pleasure to be here. At least it is for me. And I keep getting an invite back, so I'm guessing it is a bit for you. it is good. You know what? It's great when we get an opportunity. One of the opportunities I have in this role with our fellowship and in the jobs, I get to actually visit a number of our churches. And so you may or may not know, and I'll give you a little more flavor of our churches a little bit later on during the service in the sermon, but we have 85 plus churches that worship together with you on this very day with our Lord, that actually hold to the same thing, are aiming to make an impact in their community. And I get a privilege of going to them, hearing what the stories are, and I'll share a few in just a minute as well. And so I also share your story wherever I go. And so I appreciate those of you who make this church family live alive for Christ in our community. Did you know coming into today that God has things for you that will encourage you, inspire you, that will excite your hearts for this upcoming week? Did you know that? Did you know that every single day that's God's plan? I think sometimes we don't always understand that or realize that, and we get up and day-to-day is routine for us. So my question to you this morning is, how is Team Oak Ridge doing? You're a team. That's what we're going to talk about this morning for a little bit of time. You're a team. How's Team Oak Ridge? Maybe Team Oak Ridge is feeling a little under the weather today. Maybe Team Oak Ridge is tired. Maybe Team Oak Ridge is excited because you had such a great week and you can't wait till next week. Maybe Team Oak Ridge is nervous today. I can't imagine what Team Oak Ridge with Tommy and Allison and their little one, what they're going through, but I have three children, so I have an idea. And all the excitement and challenges and sleepless nights which lay ahead. That's wonderful. We have been waiting for them and praying for them, and I'm glad God has blessed them in such a wonderful way. And we continue to pray for them. Let's pray together as we move forward. Father, you are here amongst us. We thank you. Lord Jesus, you have taken care of the very need that we have, which is life and hope. And you have done that through the cross, and you do that at the right hand of our Heavenly Father, of your Father, today for each one of us that claims you. Holy Spirit, you enliven us. You lift up our hearts. You allow us to see truth. You allow us to live truth. You empower us, and we thank you. And this morning, Father, you bring us to a point before you, with you, alongside you, in front of you, in life. And wherever that is for each one of us, you want to take us from that point and take us to a place that is greater with you, where we experience your presence, where we experience your greatness, where we get to worship you. And Father, we've been singing songs about you. We've been singing songs of what a joy and privilege it is to serve you and this life that you've given us. And so we ask that you would enable us to experience in our reality that hope. Father, we also need your encouragement, because you're going to challenge us, because you call us to walk in faith, to live a life of faith, because that's where you live, that's where you are. And so encourage us to take that next step. And as we follow you, as we obey, as we live out of this life that Jesus has provided, that you provide for us, we get hope. So, Father, we love you. Lord Jesus, we love you. And Holy Spirit, we love you too. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. I want to share with you, we're going to talk about being better together. And I want to, I should turn this on. There we go. It takes a team to win. Now, this team, you may have no idea, and you may have never seen anyone on that team. Maybe you have. And if you have, that's great. I spent last weekend in Port Hardy. Does anyone know where Port Hardy is? Port Hardy is on Vancouver Island and 4.5 hours or so north, with very little in between from Nanaimo, Campbell River, and then up. Port Hardy, we were there celebrating, and we were celebrating the concept of team. Port Hardy has just finished the completion of their building, and they have been looking forward to this completion for 7 years. About 8 years ago, we sat with them in a consultation, and they had this small building that they've had for about 30 years, 40 years, and it was falling down around them. They were looking at doing repairs, and they decided, you know what? I think God wants to challenge us to build something for the community. And this is what they built. They built a 220-person place where their community can come. And Port Hardy's not that big of a place. It's about 2,500 people to 4,000, give or take, in the economy. And it's probably the second or third largest center for that many people that they can come and share. It took them 7 years. Can you imagine working on something for 7 years? But that's not the big part of that completion. What's neat is it was all done by volunteers. We don't do it this way anymore when we build facilities. We just don't. But 7 years ago, they said, you know what? We are going to find people who will volunteer their time, volunteer their money, and we are going to build this facility. And they did. And so they partnered with Port McNeil, which is about 30 minutes down the street. And the church there in Port McNeil sent men and women every Saturday to go and build this. They partnered with Campbell River. They partnered with Courtney Baptist. They partnered with about 5 or 6 of our fellowship churches, raised funds, and sent men every weekend or every second weekend for 7 years to build this facility. What an encouragement. And so all of these men and these women who could came last weekend together, and there they are, there's their picture, and we celebrated together of the completion of what God can do through his people. And actually, on that day, Courtney Baptist had taken an offering the week earlier, and they handed a check for just under $20,000 from their congregation of 150 people, 200 people, and handed it over and said, "We're not done." So the question God asks us today is, how's Team Oak Ridge? What happens when we actually operate as a team? We're going to look at Romans chapter 16. If you have your Bibles, please turn to them. I'll have it on the screen for you as well. But Romans chapter 16. This isn't a concept, a new concept. Team is not a new concept. It's been since the beginning of time. In fact, it's before time. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are a team. The Trinity is a team. So let's see a little bit of what God is calling us, God is encouraging us, and challenging us with as a team. And this is what it says. I commend you to our sister Phoebe, who is the deacon in the church. Now, you're going to have to forgive me for some of the names we pronounce here, because there's going to be a lot of them. Centuria. Welcome her in the Lord as one who is worthy of honor among God's people. Help her in whatever she needs, for she has been helpful to many, and especially to me. This is the Apostle Paul, who's sharing a letter ahead of him as he prepares to meet them one day. Give my greetings to Priscilla and Aquila, my co-workers in the ministry of Christ Jesus. In fact, they were once risked their lives for me. I am thankful to them, and so are all the Gentile churches. Also, give my greetings to the church that meets in their home. Greet my dear friend Epaphroditus. He was the first person from the province of Asia to become a follower of Christ. Give my greetings to Mary, who has worked so hard for your benefit. Greet Antronicus and Junia, my fellow Jews who were in prison with me. They are highly respected among the apostles and became followers of Christ before I did. Greet Ampliatus, my dear friend in the Lord. Greet Urbanus, our co-worker in Christ, and my dear friend Stachys. Greet Apelles, a good man whom Christ approves. And give my greetings to the believers from the household of Aristobulus. Greet Herodian, my fellow Jew. Greet the Lord's people from the household of Narcissus. That would have been an interesting crew, wouldn't it? Give my greetings to Tryphena and Tryphosa, the Lord's workers, and to dear Persis, who has worked so hard for the Lord. Greet Rufus, whom the Lord picked out to be his very own, and also his dear mother, who has been a mother to me. Give my greetings to Asyncritus, Philegon, Hermes, Patrobus, Hermas, and the brothers and sisters who meet with them. Give my greetings to Philologus, Julia, Nereus, and his sister, and to the Olympus, and all the believers who meet with them. Greet each other with a sacred kiss. All the churches of Christ send you their greetings. And now I make one more appeal. My dear brothers and sisters, watch out for people who cause divisions and upset people's faith by teaching things contrary to what you have been taught. Stay away from them. Such people are not serving Christ our Lord. They are serving their own personal interests. By smooth talk and glowing words, they deceive innocent people. But everyone knows that you are obedient to the Lord. And this makes me very happy. I want you to be wise in doing right and to stay innocent of any wrong. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Timothy, my fellow worker, sends you his greetings, as do Lucius, Jason, and Sosipater, my fellow Jews. I, Tertius, the one who is writing this letter for Paul, send my greetings too as one of the Lord's followers. Gaius says hello to you. He is my host and also serves as host to the whole church. Erastus, the city treasurer, sends you his greetings, and so does our brother Quartus. Now all glory to God, who is able to make you strong. Just as my good news says, this message about Jesus Christ has revealed his plan for you Gentiles, a plan kept safe from the beginning of time. But now, as the prophets foretold and as the eternal God has commanded, this message is made known to all the Gentiles everywhere, so that they too may believe and obey him. All glory to the only wise God through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. Whew. I know that's a lot of reading. It's a long letter and a lot of names. But it's names that aren't unlike yourselves. Imagine if Paul was writing a letter here to this church. And he's recognizing people in this church for what you do for the Lord. And your name would be on there. And that's what he's doing to the church in Rome. He had actually never been to the church in Rome. But he knew some of the players. He knew some of the people. He knew some of the people on that team. And so he wanted to let them know he remembered them. And we'll look at that list a little as we go along. For this morning, God's truth tells us that good news requires a team. My question is, or God's question is, are you playing? Are you playing on this team? He has a list of a lot of names, Paul does, and check out the list of players. You know what? Maybe I'll pull back to it. Look at the list of players he has here. There we are. Phoebe. She has done a lot to help the church. Priscilla and Aquila, co-workers. They spent time together building tents. It actually says, if you look, it's great to see the detail. They once risked their lives for me. Can you imagine the stories that Paul had of each of these people? They went through a time where they almost lost their life being with him or for him or walking alongside him. How about Epaphras? He was the first person in the province of Asia to become the follower of Christ. Can you imagine that? The first person in an entire area of the world. Are you a first? Are you a first in your family to discover Christ? Are you a first in your family to get married? Are you a first in your family to travel to a new country? Are you a first? Maybe God's asking you to be a first on the team. Greetings to Mary, who has worked hard. Androcanus. They were in prison with Paul. Yet they're highly respected. Like, the story starts coming out as we read. These aren't just names on a page. They are important people to Paul. And Paul wanted to recognize that. And Paul says to us, you are important people to Christ. Your story matters. There's other stories. There's stories about Urbanus, who is a co-worker. Apelles, he's a good man. I don't know what that means other than he's a good man in Christ. He's obviously obeyed Christ. He's followed Christ. He's got respect as a good man. There's a whole list. And then there's names who aren't even on here. There's households that mean something to Paul, that Paul had a relationship with. And we can go on. I'm not going to spend time to go through all of that. You can do that later. But it takes a team to win. Are we playing? Do you know that it takes this team, it takes each one of you for Oak Ridge to win? What's your role? What I do notice about this passage and all these names, and I think it's important for us to know, is that Paul was not a lone ranger. It wasn't just Paul's role to bring Christ to Rome. It was the team. And that's why he lists this name. Paul needed these people all the way along the way. We need each other. When's the last time you spent to get time together with each other for the sake of the gospel? Do you realize that you need each other? So why do we let those fences go up in between our relationships? We need each other. We need to spend time together. Paul was not alone in this role. He had responsibilities. Not only that, but it also, what I find is quite interesting here, it lists at least 8 women. Do you know that women in that day, in that culture, and maybe in some cultures today, were treated less than? But for some reason, and I think it's a good reason, because Paul says women are important. Women have value. Women have much to offer. And so he lists them. And he actually lists their women in the church have value, not just in the community. He starts off with Phoebe, who is a deaconess, which means she served the church in a public way. And she has, and Paul lists others there. But he doesn't just say that. Paul also says here, cultures matter. If you look at this list of names, if you were to see their history, there are people here who have lots of influence and lots of money. In fact, if you read a little bit later on, I think the last name mentioned in this passage, he was the treasurer of their area. Like, he owned the city's money. He was in charge of the city. He had a lot of responsibility. But not only that, if you look at this list, there's a list of what they call free slaves, meaning they were slaves that are now free. So they were slaves. So you have from slaves to the very wealthy in this entire group. Everyone is a part of the team. Everyone has an important role in what's being played. Every culture has an important role. No one is missed out. It's wonderful. So the question is, are you playing? Are you playing? We need each other. We are stronger together than we are apart. This church is stronger together than it is apart. I want to give you a little bit of insight into the fellowship, if you didn't know, maybe. I already told you we have about 85 churches. That doesn't include church plants. That doesn't include churches within churches. And you guys have essentially three within one. And I commend you. The Fellowship Pacific mission is simply this, which you belong to, which you are a part of, which you serve, which you lead. To leverage the collective strength of our churches for a God-honoring impact in BC, in Yukon, and around the world. We leverage the collective strengths of our churches. About 10 years ago, we came up with this mission. You came up with this mission. You may not realize you did, but you did, because we voted on it as a fellowship, which means we have to work together, because working together allows us to be stronger. Let me tell you this. Let me give you a stat, if you like stats. Over 10 years ago, we were at 4% decline in our churches. In other words, our churches were fading away. Our people numbers were going away. We were not reproducing. We were not growing. We were decreasing by 4%, which inevitably means if you continue to decrease, what? You have nothing. So at that time, we decided to make a change as a group of churches. And when that change was made and this mission was brought in to leverage our collective strength to do things together, within 3 years, do you know what? We were growing by 7%. 7% growth. And that continues to be, by the way. Financially, as a group of churches, we actually went from probably about $200,000 a year that comes into the Fellowship Ministry Center to now well over $500,000 a year. Given by churches for the work of the gospel, above and beyond what you do in your communities. And I commend you, I thank you, I applaud you. Our new vision is this, that we came together and voted on 2 years ago, is this: to innovatively develop relationships and resources that propel every Fellowship Pacific church to be accountable to their gospel mandate. So we want to develop relationships. We want to grow together. We want to do things together. We want to develop resources. We want new ways. We want to know how to be generous. We want to know how business fits into this so that you can bring people the gospel and become more of a community and a greater community in this area. And there's no exceptions. This is you. This is what we voted on. This is what you voted on. This is what our churches told our region. And so to accomplish this, our ministry center, here's what we do is some of this. We train people in areas of leadership development. You have a student, he was a student, he graduated now, it's Tommy Wong. We train people for leadership development, and we want to help you in doing this. You have the leaders. We want to help you with the training. We train board training. We have ministry resourcing, which means we want to help you with society stuff. We want to help you with CRA. We want to help you with stewardship. We want to help you with generosity. We want to help you with office management. That's what our fellowship does together. We also, as was mentioned, I work for a life cycles team, we call it, which basically is church health. Anything to do with church health. We want to help with pastor placement. Now, we don't have to do that here. I'm sure Brad will listen to this later. We pray, but we do want to help with health. In fact, there are many in your church family here who help with pastor health for other churches, and we thank you and applaud you. But we also want to help you with problem solving. We want to help you with church planting. We know you're talking about building and changes and a number of these things. We want to help in any way we can. That's what the Fellowship Ministry Center tries to do, and that's what we want to do. And we want to bring other churches into the equation to help. We partner with other foundations to help. The reason I tell you these things is I want you to know you're not alone. I want you to realize that your church is not alone, just in the fellowship world. You know, we partner with a called BC Baptist Foundation, and it is the largest faith-based seniors care provider in BC. Did you know that? We partner with camps, and those camps all are attached to Bible schools. So we have students going to camp and then going off to Bible schools. We partner with C2C, which is the Mennonite Brethren Church Planting. We don't plant a church without their help. We partner with them. We go across denominations. We go across cultures. That's what the fellowship does. This one kind of blows my mind, but I'll tell you it. It's the last stat. Do you know that there's $750 million in assets within the fellowship and its partners? $750 million available to help to bring the gospel to our community through our partners and our churches. That's, I mean, that's God's doing. What God is saying is we're not alone. So the question is, are we playing? What's your role? Have you prayed? You know, Lord, what's my gifts? What's my role? What's my role in Oak Ridge? How do I fit in with Oak Ridge's vision and where God is calling Oak Ridge to go and to be? Where do I need to step up? Where do I need to encourage others to step up? You know what maybe our role is? Maybe our role is to step back and encourage others to step up. I pastored for over 15 years. My role is to be up front. My role in the last six is to help others be up front. It's not easy. It's hard because I think things should go a certain way sometimes. But that's not my role. My role is to lift others up because God has called others and he's called me to do this at this time. What's your role? I better keep moving along. Are we playing for the same team? Are we playing for the same team? If you notice here, I have verse 17 to 23, and it says this. After this wonderful list, he says, "And now I make one more appeal, my dear brothers and sisters. Watch out for people who cause divisions and upset people's faith by teaching things contrary to what you have been taught. Stay away from them. Such people are not serving Christ our Lord. They are serving their own personal interests." And it says how they do it. It doesn't say exactly what happened. But it does say it's about them and it's not about the role and the glory of God. So what team are we playing for? Are you playing for team me? Because team me doesn't bring glory to God. Team us does. So what's in the way from becoming and playing on the same team? Are we encouraging people to play on the same team? Not everybody was working with Paul at spreading the gospel. How's our work at spreading the gospel? You know, when we share the gospel, that's team us. I think we have the same problem today in many of our churches. How are we at playing as a team? I was on my way here driving this morning, and I was tired. What do you guys do when you're tired and you're driving or you need to be somewhere? Coffee? Coffee's probably a good thing. I think a lot of people like coffee. I'm okay with coffee, unless if it has a lot of sugar. I'm a sugar guy, so I like a lot of sugar, and I find sugar gives you that quick pick-me-up, right? And so I'm assuming some of you love sugar and enjoy sugar as much as me, at least that the smiles tell me, and maybe you have some with you, and if you do, feel free, have some, but if you have a neighbor, make sure, because we're all about team this morning, you got to share with them too. And I was on my way down, and I was just feeling tired, and so I went into my glove box, and I have a bag of Skittles. So everyone knows what Skittles is. It's like straight sugar. And I grabbed the Skittles and I threw it into my mouth and I'm like, oh, this is good. I'm feeling the extra energy kick in and I'm excited and I'm singing now. And now I'm ready to worship because I got sugar. Probably not the way it should be, but it is for some of us sometimes. And then all of a sudden, something changed in my mouth. And it went from something wonderful and sweet to something really hot and full of heat. Anybody have had a black package of Skittles? You have any idea? No? Black package of Skittles says this, sweet heat. My kids gave this to me as a gift. I didn't read. All I saw was Skittles. And so my expectation was Skittles, sugar, this is great. I'm going on the right way. And all of a sudden, I had this burning, and it's hot, burning in my mouth. I couldn't get it out fast enough. You ever have anything like that? Well, you didn't expect, but there it is. And now I for sure wasn't tired. I thought it was all about the Skittles,
But then I realized halfway along the way that actually I had another issue. I had lost sight of what I was playing for, what I wanted. And I had this heat that I had to deal with now. Have you thrown those Skittles in and you've played part of the team, you've been enjoying them, and now it's like, whoa, things have changed. Things aren't quite the same as I first thought they were. And something happens, and now you don't want to be part of the team. Or part of the team is a challenge. Maybe it's at work. Maybe it's at the church. Maybe it's at home. And God reminds us this morning that we need team. It's about team. Step up to the team. It's not about you. I can't wait to give these Skittles back to my kids when I get home and tell them it's part of the team. Are we playing for the same team for the good news? So we have to ask, are we playing? Because it requires a team. But are we playing for the same team? Are we all on the same team? But what's the point of the team? I think we need to ask that. Why a team? What brings a team together? And it's this. This is what verse 24 to 27. It's for the sake of the gospel. Here we are. Verse 25. Now all glory to God who is able to make you strong, just as my good news says. This message about Jesus Christ has revealed his plan for you Gentiles, a plan kept secret from the beginning of time. But now, as the prophets foretold and as the eternal God has commanded, this message is made known to all the Gentiles everywhere so that they too might believe and obey him. All glory to the only wise God through Jesus Christ forever. Jesus Christ is the good news. What brings us together is the good news. Are we playing for the team of the good news? What does the good news look like in your community last week? What does it look like through you? He mentions this list of people because they bring good news to Rome. They brought good news to Paul. They brought good news wherever they went. And he says, are you bringing this same good news, Oak Ridge, to your community? You are the messengers of the good news. Maybe some of the hard part for us, if we were to go through that list again, we don't want to bring good news in the way some of them brought good news, do we? We don't want to lose our lives. Yet it can bring the good news to save someone else's life. We don't want pain. We don't want it to be a struggle. And yet that's how God brings the good news sometimes. Go through that list. We're not going to take the time to do it again. But their stories are there. And your stories are here. God knows your heart. He knows your life. He knows when you've brought the good news to people. So I say thank you. You may have never shared any of those stories yet. Don't be afraid to share them. God's waiting. He's going to use them. They're his stories. They're your stories. Continue on in them. The good news. Are we playing at Oak Ridge for the good news? We're not playing for Paul. They're not playing for Paul. I think sometimes we play for personalities, don't we? We play because someone else tells us we ought to play. We play because if we don't play, maybe we bring shame or guilt. And so we do it. We're what we call people pleasers. And Paul says, that's not why these people brought the good news. That won't keep you going very far. And Paul says, that's not about me. It's about Jesus Christ. He is the good news. Do it for him. It's about the good news. Do you know the good news? Maybe that's our struggle. Do you know the good news that we pulled away from God and he came after us? That we actually hated God. We told him we hated him. We never wanted anything to do with him back in the Garden of Eden. And we ran. We said, we know better than you, God. So we're going to take this fruit. And God said, no, you don't. And that separated us. But God said, you know what? I'm going to come after you because I love you. And I want you back. And I don't want you to ever run again. And so he came after us in the person of Jesus Christ and died for us and lives for us. Conquered death. So we don't have to worry about that anymore. We can have a relationship with Jesus Christ if we ask him into our hearts and say, yeah. You know what? I want that. I need that, God. My life, it's not going the way it should. I need purpose. I need value. And God says, I'm going to give it to you through Jesus Christ. That's our good news. And those of you who know that good news, you know that's great news. You know that when things are hard, that's what we go back to. You know we need it because we have value. Do you know that each of you has value because we're all on the same team? When's the last time you treated someone with that same value on this team? They're loved by God. They're saved by God. Christ died for them. Christ lives for them. Do you know that about your community? That when you step out this door today, you're going to see people loved by God who have yet to hear that love from God, and they need it, and our team needs to bring it. Let me finish with this, a little bit of encouragement. Verse 25 says this, "Now all glory to God who is able to make you strong." God will make this happen. God has strengthened you in the past. He will strengthen you again. Don't live in past memories. Live in new ones. He has strength, as he did for each one of these individuals. Their stories are alive. They tell us of the strength of God. Not only that, it says in verse at the end of verse 25, the message about Jesus Christ has revealed his plan. God has a plan for you. And part of that plan was the gospel. But part of that plan is you living out the gospel. He's got a plan. He's waiting. He's waiting. Realize that plan. Also says here in verse 26, it's about the gospel. And it went everywhere, even to us Gentiles, those who aren't Jews. If you struggle to discover, you know, and have strength and to carry on, I say this, go back and look at how much Jesus loves you and live out of that. I'm going to finish with this story. I coach a ball team, and every year we play, and we play actually in a church league, but I would say 70% of the people on our team of 20 people are not Christians. And about, 10 years ago, our church wanted to put a team together. And so we did. And then it started dwindling because we just didn't have many people that wanted to play baseball. So we advertised for the community where I lived. And we had, I think, maybe 8 people out of the community, not church, came and wanted to play in a church league, which is kind of rare, actually. It doesn't happen very often, not in my experience anyways. And so we started this team, or continued on with this team, and we've been playing together for probably about 6 years now with the same group of people. It's changed a little bit here or there. But they need the gospel, and I need to live the gospel. And so we played along, and one of the couples, they have a daughter who's the same age as my son. And this young girl started becoming friends with other players' kids on our team, not my son. And so actually became quite close to one of the other girls, and whose family came to our church. And along this process, met others in the youth group, met others, worship, youth leaders, all that, and this young gal came to know Christ. Because we opened the doors, invited people to play ball, made relationships, started building a team, came to know Christ. And we've shared the gospel with this family for years now. And so she came to Christ probably about 2 years ago at an altar call in our church. And as she walked up, I was happened to be speaking on that day. As she walked up and I saw her walked up, I started crying because beside her was her team of people who walked with her all the way along, because it takes a team to see people come to Christ. And God was waiting and God was a part of it. And so God was making it happen before my very eyes. You know what? Next Sunday is November 25th. November 25th is the day this young girl gets baptized. She has chosen now to be part of the team, to follow Christ. But you know what makes this amazing? She is the first in her family to know Christ. I'm going to watch her parents, who I've been witnessing to, who our team has been witnessing to for the past 6 years, for the first time ever come to the church. And it's not that they come to the church, but they're going to come to the church and they're going to witness a community of believers. They're going to witness their daughter stand up and say, "I love Jesus and this is what he means to me." And mom and dad, I want you to know that, because he is so important to me. And that's what a team does. So let me ask you this. Are we playing as a team? Are you on the team? Because we need you on the team. Are we playing for the same team? Because we need to play together. And are we playing for the good news, the gospel? Because that is what it is about, folks. Please pray for that young lady. She gets baptized next week. Ah, she's going to be a first. She is going to be a first in her family. So when I read that first in that passage, that one fellow who was the first in Asia, it makes my heart sing. God is at work in your church. And he's got so many more stories. More than you can imagine, as we had read about earlier. I look forward to hearing them as you play as a team, as you continue to play for the gospel, what God can do in this church family. Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, thank you. Lord, thank you for the challenge. Father, you call us, and we've been reading and singing about it today, you call us to be together, and you don't just call us to be together, you say in the name of Jesus Christ and in the power of the Holy Spirit, we can be together as a team. But that team is about giving you a glory and honoring you and seeking you. And that team is just about being and living out of the love that you love us with. It's not a guilt thing. It's out of love. And so thank you for loving us so deeply. Thank you for bringing people around us. Thank you for this church family. Thank you for the relationships within this church family. Thank you for the memories that we have here. And Father, even the hard ones that we may have, continue to help us work through those in the power of your grace. Father, I thank you for those who you're bringing into this team. I thank you for a team of cultures. I thank you for a team of different ages. I thank you for a team of different experiences. I thank you for just the team you have here at Oak Ridge. You have blessed them over the years. Thank you. We ask that you would continue to bless them. Father, I pray for this young gal as she gets baptized next week in my own church and for her family, for their souls. I pray that your good news would be so clear to them, that they would choose you that day, or before, or after. I thank you for the names in Paul's letters that actually bring to us life, that it is possible, that you are real, that your power is real, we're not alone. Father, thank you for this day. Jesus Christ, thank you for salvation and hope and a new day. And Holy Spirit, thank you for making us alive. And thank you for the stories around us of people who are alive and the opportunities we have to live out your gospel, our faith in our community. Lord, stories will be amazing next week when we get together as a church family. In your name we pray. Amen.